have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Sheets of rain falling down, people moving all around. Some never think how great you are. Some never feel with a clean heart. With all that you do and all that you've done, the fact that you gave your only son, you think they'd all cry, glory, hallowed be thou name. Most excellent, most God. Stars in the moon sing Gloria. You're so excellent. Oh, give a day, come tomorrow. Days of joy and days of sorrow. Some even ask what life's about. Some live and don't see you're the way out. Is it only look and see? Glory in the great heavenly, they'd have to cry out, glory, hallowed be thou name, most excellent God. Yes, you're glorious. The mountains clap and the hills sing. Gloria, you're so excellent. Oh, you are. No one's holy like you are. You are. Yes, there's none besides you. You are. And there's no rock like you, Lord. No rock like you, Lord. You're my glorious God, you are. Yes, you're glorious in your greatness and your power, in your majesty and your victory. Somebody say, is he? Is it a you? He is the main. Worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Go on and worship him, worship him, worship the Lord. Is there anybody here? Anybody love him like I do? Then say you are. Your Gloria.
Yes, he is glorious. My God. Well, it's another Friday night, and welcome to For His Glory. I'm your host, I'm Apostle Brian Blessingame. I'm here along with the Lord. I'm also here with my magnificent producer, Kimmy Kim, Dr. Kim, and we're here with you. We just praise God for another night, for another day, for another chance to bring forth the word. It's so awesome how God does a thing and it all comes together The word does tell us that all things work together for the good of the Lord, for those who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh, those who love the Lord, all things work together. And I was just listening to the song as it was ministering to me, and I've been thinking about the goodness of God. I don't know things that God is doing in me, and I just say in me. I want to say in my life, but I feel it on the inside of me as well as just my life. But I don't even know. Dr. Kim, you might have to help me on this. I don't even know if there's such a thing or such a word as realer, but I was in church last night. We was doing elevation class, and I told him, I said, I don't know if there's such a word called realer, but he keeps making himself realer and realer and realer on the inside of me, and I thank God for it. If there's not a word called realer, he is a creator, so he, as far as I'm concerned, he just created a new word in me called realer. I tell you, God is just so marvelous. I'm not even talking about what he's about to do, which, you know, there's some things that he's shown me. There's some things that he's talking to me about that he's doing, you know, on the horizon, which has just gotten me all jacked up. I mean, I'm just all pumped up in what God is talking about. But the thing, as time goes by, it just gets real. It just gets real. And I start understanding more and more about how the words, some of the hymns and stuff, how some of the songs used to say, you know, yes, I know he's real. I know that he's real because I feel him down deep in my soul. And that's just where I'm at right now with God. I mean, it's just to the point that sometimes I just want to take time out to stop and say hallelujah. Sometimes it's not just the singing. Sometimes I'm screaming. Sometimes I'm yelling. Hallelujah. Because God is just that good. So with that being said, what we're going to be looking into tonight is coming from Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, starting at the 19th verse. It's dealing with the children of Israel. And sometimes as I look at life, a lot of times I can relate to the children of Israel. And I remember the scripture does tell us that the things that went on with the children of Israel, they were written for our learning. So sometimes I like to visit back to that place. And you know, you can always see in that how God does some marvelous things and how God is doing some marvelous things in our life, in your life, in my life. So starting in the 19th verse, but before we get started in the 19th verse, let us just pray. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. God, we give you honor, we give you glory for who you are, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every one of those who are tuning in. We thank you, Lord God, for this magnificent woman of God, Kim and Kim, Lord God, who you've given unto us to be an angel to watch over this ministry, to watch over this podcast, Lord God. And we thank you for the things that you're doing in her life. We thank you, Lord God, for even how she comes on in the morning minute that she does every morning. And my God, we just thank you for how you're using her even in that area. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We give you praise that, God, as I speak, you'll anoint me for that which you would have me to say. And Father God, for those who would listen, we decree and we declare that their open hearts and their open minds will be attentive to your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We rebuke the devourer, and we rebuke the ones who would try to come and snatch that word immediately as it goes forth. In Jesus' name, we decree it to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. As we look into Nehemiah, starting in the 19th verse, it says, Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. So, if any of you have, you know, read the Bible, have been in contact with the things of God or whatever when it comes to Israel, we realize that Israel was at one time in bondage. They were slaves unto Egypt. God did miraculous things to deliver them from the hands of Pharaoh, from the hands of, there are many different plagues that God sent to encourage Pharaoh to let his people go. And of course, the Bible says Pharaoh wouldn't let them go because God kept hardening his heart until finally he did let them go. And we realized that once he let them go, they decided to try to chase the children of Israel and ended up being drowned, being destroyed by the hand of the Lord. As I said, that a thought just came. You know, it's a very dangerous chase a child of God. That is, if you're chasing them in the wrong manner, if you're chasing them to try to get something from God, then, you know, and they're leading you in the right way, then that's all right. But if you're chasing them to do harm, you may be finding yourself in a bad way. But this is beyond the point where God had delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh, and now they're in the wilderness. Now, if you're listening and you're born again, if you haven't been born again and you're thinking about being born again, let me say this to you. Every newborn believer, every born-again believer, everyone who comes into the knowledge of the truth, they will and do face a wilderness. Sometimes we face more than one wilderness, depending on the course that God has taken us in. The wilderness, though, is not really designed to break you. It does break you. It does break some things off of you, but it's really designed to make you. It's to build you up. The wilderness experience, it builds and strengthens your faith in God, not so much in the things of man and not so much in the world system, but it does begin to build you in the things of God. It starts teaching you the ways of so on. So here God was in the wilderness with the children of Israel. Now, it's showing us that even though God has them in the wilderness, now let's realize what a wilderness is. A wilderness, a lot of times, is a place where there's no life or very little life. There's no water. A lot of times in the wilderness, there's nothing really to eat. It's usually a dry place. It's usually a dead place. But God took them through the wilderness in order to take them to their promised land. So what happens a lot of times while God is taking you to your promised land, to your blessed place, you will go through a wilderness. That wilderness is a place of preparation for you. So when you get to your blessed place, you'll know how to handle the blessings of God, okay? So here we have God. He's got the children of Israel. The children of Israel now have they're now becoming more so a nation instead of slaves, but they still have what we call a slave-type mentality. Now, why do we say that? Because several times throughout the Scripture, every time they hit a bump, every time they hit a crisis, every time they hit something that was hard for them not to be able to really understand, they would always cry out, would to God we were back in Egypt, a place of bondage. Would to God, you know, there was food in Egypt. Why did we leave the food in Egypt? Would to God. I mean, it was always one thing after another. They wish they hadn't, you know, At least in Egypt, we can make brick, you know, this, that, and another in Egypt. It's the enemy always try to bring back to our minds the past and try to make the past look better than your future in order to get you not to try to trust God to go to the better place, to go to your promised place. Always will try to make that your past look better than where God is taking you. And what a lot of us don't understand and what a lot of us don't realize is that there are certain things and sometimes certain people that God is weeding or try to weed. He weeds people out of your life so that when you get to your blessed place, they won't be there to reap some of your blessings. See, everybody don't have the same mentality that you do. Everybody don't have the same compassion and the same love that you do for God. Everybody don't have the same type relationship with God that you have. Some don't even have a relationship. Some want to stay in Egypt. Some want to hold on to that idol or that thing that they love so much in Egypt, but yet they still want the blessings of God. So therefore, some of them are still hanging on to you because they realize that there's favor on your life. They realize that you still have a connection with God and you can get the hand of God to move. And hey, they're ecstatic by that. There's blessings that they may receive because they're connected to you. But God is moving you from one place to another place. And God's saying, let that go. And what a lot of us don't understand is when we decide we don't want to let what God said go, let it go, that thing becomes, in the eyesight of God, that thing becomes an idol or a god. So if you know God is telling you to let someone go, let something go. Sometimes it can be just a job. Sometimes it can be a family member. But sometimes if God says, let something go, please be obedient. Let God, give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. Here we are. Like I said, God got all, he has all this, these people. They're in the wilderness. But the Bible says God didn't forsake them. Out of God's mercy, out of God's compassion, God didn't forsake them. Listen, he had every right to. And one time, there was a time that he and Moses had a discussion. And if I remember correctly, God even told Moses, this is your people. You brought them out of Egypt. And God was ready to wipe them off the face of the earth. But Moses had to stand in the gap and told God, now, God, no, you can't destroy them, because if you destroy them, everybody will say that you only brought them out here to the desert to kill them. You can't do that. So Moses stood in the gap. God heard Moses. But they did a lot of things to provoke God and to provoke the wrath of God because of their unbelief. Listen, the Bible says they traveled to the promised land for 40 years. Now, I can't remember how long the Bible scholars say that journey should have taken, but it wasn't supposed to take them 40 years. But God took them around and around for 40 years because a lot of them still had unbelief. A lot of them still had doubt. So God allowed those that had doubt to die out before he actually took them into the promised land. Listen, he said, by day, the pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day. It said, to lead them in the way. Neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and by the way wherein they should go. Listen, the pillar of cloud, not only did it lead them, it provided them coolness during the day. It was a desert. It was hot. So during the day, it brought forth a coolness. During the night, it became a pillar of fire. It led them, but not only did it lead them, but he provided heat. And in the desert, that the temperatures drop real low in the desert. It's really cold at night in the desert. So God gave them a pillar of fire by night, not only to lead them, but to also keep them warm. And it showed them which way to go. He says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them. Not only did he give them a good spirit, the good spirit was in the prophet Moses. So he gave them a good spirit to guide them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Listen, remember, wilderness, that's a dead place. Nothing's going on in the wilderness. In a dead place, in a place that doesn't produce anything, the Bible says here that they didn't lack anything. I'm talking about the provisions of God. The provisions of God, the goodness of God, the compassion of God, the love of God, the miraculous, glorious things of God. He said that he gave them a good spirit to instruct them, and he said he withheld not thy manna from their mouth. God fed them manna directly from heaven. From heaven, he fed them manna from heaven, told them they would gather it, but they couldn't gather it except for on the Sabbath. So they had to double up on the day before the Sabbath. But, of course, they were hard-headed. So sometimes they would go out and then gather it anyway on the Sabbath. But the Bible says that it turned into worms. He gave them enough. He provided for them. But sometimes they didn't take heed to what God was saying. Sometimes they didn't take heed to what God was doing because there was still quite a bit of unbelief. There was still quite a bit of doubt. There was still quite a bit of rebellion, even though they had seen the different miracles that God had performed. It said, in the wilderness, not thy manna, you didn't withhold the manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. He gave them water in a dead place, in a desert place. He still gave them water. He said, yea, for 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness so that they lacked nothing. Get this. Their clothes wax not old, and their feet swelled not. Can you imagine your clothes during a 40-year time period never getting old? The stitches never came out. They didn't deteriorate. 40 years. They said their feet didn't. He even kept their shoes for 40 years in the desert. 40 years. So that tells me that he's a preserver. God knows how to preserve his saints. Again, I keep getting caught up, though, because so many times he was still showing mercy because I'm telling you, so many times they grumble. So many times they complain. So many times if it didn't look right. So many times they wanted to go after Moses. So many times they wanted to go after Aaron. So many times, and even some of Moses' closest friends, God had to come in. Relatives, God had to come in and intervene. But he was very patient. He was very long-suffering. And I'm wondering to some of you, or some of you that may be out there tonight who might be listening, you're finding yourself in the wilderness or in a dry place. Certain things not working for you, coming together for you. Certain things look like they're right at the verge of coming together and happening for you, but at the last second, it ventures out and go a different way, and you're still stuck in the old place that you've always been. Could it be that God is trying to get you to see something? Could it be that God is trying to get you to change your ways? Could it be that God is trying to get you? Could it be that he's knocking on the door of your heart saying, let me in, let me in? I'm telling you, one of the first places when God is trying to get someone's attention, he will hit their finances. He will hit their finances. One of the first places he will hit is their finances to get your attention, to bring you in a wilderness place. Now, even after you get saved, even after you come in, there still may be a wilderness place, because in a lot of cases, we have built up so much stuff in the world system. We've gotten so much game in the world system. So what God comes along and does, places in the wilderness, and then knock all that stuff off, all that stuff down, and then build us afresh and anew on a new foundation. Take Moses, for instance. Moses had became great in the land of Egypt. He had become great in the land of Egypt. But God had to take him and take all that stuff that he had became great in Egypt, place him on the backside of a mountain for 40 years. I think he was out there for 40 years on the backside of a desert, and built him up. He started training him and building him up so that he could go back to Egypt and take the people out of Egypt to fulfill the promise of taking them into the promised land. God always knocked that foundation down that you have built in your own strength and in your own mind. He always knocked that down and start afresh and anew on the new foundation. Because why? Anything on a weak foundation is not going to stand. He's going to put it on a sturdy foundation. With you understanding that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Once you get started on his foundation, you'll see him begin to build. Behold, all things shall become old, let shall pass away, and behold, all things shall become new once you're born again in this walk called Christianity, called a believer. Called a believer. So, yeah, he did this in 40 years with the children of Israel. Let's look at Psalms 109. Psalms 107, forgive me, 107. Psalms 107. And starting at the 35th verse. Down to the 38th verse. It says, he turned the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground into water springs. And that's what I was saying when I said God is a creator. What used to be dry is no longer dry. What used to be a wilderness, he turned it into standing water. He can do that. He's God. He said, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. How in the world can you prepare a place of death, you might as well say, a place of death, a place of wilderness? How can you turn it into a place where it's now going to be a whole city? Nobody can do that but God. Nobody can do that but God. And then he says, and sow in the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruit of increase. So he had to transform even the land that they were in so that if they did plant a seed, the seed wouldn't die. the seed will be able to be have enough nutrients to grow and reproduce. Because God said, let's go back to that. Because it says in the 38, he said, he blessed them also so that they are multiplied greatly and suffer peace. So look, he calls them even in a desert place to multiply. Now this desert place is no longer a desert place. It's a city. He said they multiplied greatly, and he said, and he suffered not their cattle to decrease. So even their livestock, did not decrease. Their livestock began to multiply. In other words, whatever's connected to you as a believer is blessed because it's connected to you because of the relationship that you have with the Father through the Son. Let me expound on that a little bit more. The Bible says that he have the Son have the Father already. This in 1 Peter. But it says, whosoever denieth the Son, denieth. And I mean, you're thinking you have some kind of relationship with God the Father without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to my Father except by me. If you come any other way, you're considered to be a thief and a robber. You can't, hallelujah, come to the Father through just plain old water baptism. Uh-oh. You can't just come. Oh, yeah, I said that right. I said that because people do that. People come in, give the right hand to the right hand of fellowship to the pastor and say, I want to become a member of such and so church. I want to be baptized and become a member of such and so church. They did not confess their sins. They didn't receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They got baptized, a dry sinner, and came up a wet sinner because confession was they wanted to become a church member, not a child of God. They didn't receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. I hope I'm helping somebody. I hear people who think that just because grandmama and granddaddy or daddy or mama was born again, they think that they too was born again too because of, no, it don't work that way. Listen, there is a promise, but you have to take heed to the promise. You have to receive the promise. That's just like me promising you to give you $50, but you don't, the $50 is there, but you don't take it. You don't receive it. It does you no good. It does you no good. The Bible says that the promise, which is the Holy Spirit, is to you. It's to your children. It's to your children's children. And those that are far off, as many as the Lord may call, but all of them have to come to the cross. All of them have to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior in order to receive that promise. It's not like, okay, for instance, it's like this, okay, it's like this. If you're born in the back seat of a Cadillac, that don't make you a Cadillac. Some people feel like because they were born in church or they were raised in church, all of a sudden they no. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. Of the water and of the Spirit, you must be. I don't know how I got into that, but you must be born again. Hallelujah. They multiplied because God was with them, because God told them what to do or to instruct them. See, a lot of times all God got to do is speak a thing, and it's going to happen. And what we don't understand is that God has called us to as believers, as born-again Christians, to multiply. I said a little bit last night, you know, it's like the baby kids. They say, we don't die, we multiply. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to multiply. Now, when I say that, I ain't talking about them going out there and having all kind of illegitimate kids here, there, and another. But you have faith in you. You have a seed. The seed to salvation. Plant that seed. If you can't plant that seed, somebody else done planting that seed, you can put some water on it. And that's what the scripture said. One planter, another water, but God gives an increase. God gives an increase. God is calling us, even more so now, to multiply, to spread that word, to spread the good news. Because God is doing some magnificent things to where some who may have said no to Christ before, when they see this move of God that God is about to do, they're going to have a whole new different outlet. They're going to have a whole new different approach. They're going to want what the Father has. They're going to want what the Father has. They're going to want this thing called Jesus. They're going to want this thing called eternal life. Who wouldn't want to serve and love a God like my God? Who wouldn't want to have their backslidden issue healed? See, if I remember the old folks used to say, count your blessings and name them one by one. If you're going through a hard place in life, if you are going through a rough time, if you're going to a time that you're feeling like you want to backslide on God, count your blessings and name them one by one. I bet you by the time you get through counting them, you'll change your mind about leaving God. Even if you have already left God and you think about the many times that God, I'm talking about me now, the many times that God stepped in and saved my life, you count them one by one, and I guarantee you'll think about coming back to the Father. Even if you have not tasted of his goodness before, and you think about some hard times, and you say, God, if you'll just get me out of this one. I know all of us been there. If you just get me out of this one, God, I won't do that no more. God, I won't do this no more. Some of us being so desperate, we get down there and say, God, if you get me out of this one, I'll live for you. And then he get us out of it, we don't think no more about it. But God's coming to collect. He's coming to collect on some of this, on some of these empty promises. He's giving another chance. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've ever made one of those promises and things are still rough, things are kind of shaky, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son, and I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hands. I confess this with my mouth. I believe it in my heart. And because you said that, if I did confess with my mouth, if I did believe it in my heart, I shall be saved. Father, I right now receive you. I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life. I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have passed away. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you said that prayer with me, you can reach me easily. Facebook, B-R-Y-A-N, Brian Blasingame, or Snapchat, or Instagram. I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be glad to pray for you. Find a good Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church that you do so that you won't be lost somewhere out there and running astray. But that's the word for tonight. I pray that it finds a resting place in your heart. I pray that you realize the goodness of the Lord. And I pray that you acknowledge all of his benefits. All of his benefits. The Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. A lot of times when we see that or when we think money only, but it's not always just about money. Sometimes you have to come to the realization that sometimes a peace of mind is priceless. God gives us peace. He says he will give us perfect peace for those who keep their mind stayed on him. For joining in, I pray that you was blessed. Until next time, whatever you do, be sure to do it in decency and in order. But for most of all, do it for his glory. Kimmy Kim, we thank you. We bless the Lord for you. Will you take us out? God bless. Amen. Anyway.
You don't know like I know all the things that God has done for me. And I don't have enough time to tell you how he seems to supply every need. For all the times that he's brought me out, I thank him for all the times he's brought me through. And I lift my hands because he's been here. And now I'm standing here to tell you I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I've never seen them beg for bread. Cause God is a God that is faithful. Lift your hand.